and welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host today, father of five, broadcasting from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. A safe distance from the demise of Western civilization, we are living in some of the most interesting times in the last couple of millennia, friends. As far as I'm concerned, after about 1,500 years of Western civilization under a basically Christian approach to life, we're beginning to see a decline of all of these things and the possible destruction of all of Western civilization within the next 30 to 40 years. Interesting things going on all the time. And to headline what I'm talking about today, Loveland Art Museum, just up the road from where we are here in Colorado, is demonstrating some art that pictures Jesus violating Leviticus 18. We're not going to talk about exactly what it involves because we don't want to defile anybody. And it's interesting, Dave, that you've got two different perspectives of homosexuality right now. You have one that's extremely supportive of it. You have a perspective of homosexuality that that considers it not just an alternative lifestyle, but an improvement, a celebration of diversity, an extremely moral approach to life. Anybody who supports anybody who participates in it is really the hero of the public schools and the universities and the media. No question about it, friends. I mean, I'm guessing, Dave, if you interviewed 1,000 media persons, talking newspaper, television, what have you, you're going to find 90% of them are going to be in support, in enthusiastic support of homosexuality. You've got churches in support of homosexuality. And right now, I think on this issue, we've got a humongous divide. We've got a divide that is as large as the Grand Canyon, friends. You've got churches out there who consider us to be the most unloving, unchristlike people in the world. And then you have us who look at these churches and say they're supporting some of the most blasphemous abominations that have ever been recorded in the history of the world. Dave, you've got two different perspectives here. You got to admit, we don't agree on this one.
No, we don't agree on this one, and I think it centers around whether or not Jesus has, in his role as Lord and King, whether or not he can make laws, and whether or not the laws he makes are laws that should be enforced, and laws that he's serious about. Is he serious when he destroys nations in his Godhead role is when he destroys Sodom and Gomorrah? Is that serious or is that just capricious? Is he the same God of the Old Testament as the New Testament? Is the Holy Spirit serious when writing through Paul talks about sins against nature in Romans when they're sinning against the very God who created them? Now, is he serious or isn't he? I think this is the divide. Is God or Jesus king, or is man going to make his own morality, a kinder, gentler law?
The stakes are really high on this one. Really, really high on this one. Does God still judge nations as he judged Sodom and Gomorrah? Does he still hate homosexuality and consider homosexuals to be those that ought to be put to death by the civil magistrate? Is this the perspective that Jesus takes to homosexuality? Is Paul still opposed to homosexuality 2,000 years later after he considered it an abomination in Romans chapter 1, as a sin worthy of death in Romans chapter 1? Is Paul still of the same opinion? Is Jesus still of the same opinion? Or are we the most unloving people on planet Earth? I mean, it's got to be one or the other. We can't both be right on this one. All right? I know you postmodern relativists would like to believe that everybody's right and there is no possibility of absolute truth. But, friends, when we disagree to this degree, you got to admit that that somebody's got to be right, somebody's got to be wrong on this particular issue. And this plays very hard in the present story right now. It's hot in the media today, and that is the Tyler Clemente case in New Jersey. He's a Rutgers University student freshman, 18 years of age, and apparently he was outed unwillingly by a roommate. This kid was doing homosexual stuff, and he was outed unwillingly by a roommate and consequently got very depressed and went and killed himself jumping off the George Washington Bridge down the street from Rutgers University. Okay, so that was the story. A very sad story. His parents have come out. They've talked about it a little bit. They haven't shared much about their faith. We don't know a whole lot about their faith. But one thing we do know is that Tyler Clemente attended an evangelical church called Grace Church in New Jersey. And this church apparently patterned after Bill Hybels, so somewhat of a megachurch model, but still taking an ethical stand against the sin of homosexuality, which is the official position of the Bill Hybels crowd. So, very interesting story here, Dave. And, of course, you've got all of the pro-homosexual crowd, all of the pro-Christian homosexual crowd, and all of the media and everybody's coming out and saying, now see what you homophobes are doing? You are sentencing these people to death. And Al Mohler, in his blog, I think this morning, talked about three other kids, 13, 15 years of age, who did the same thing, committed suicide just recently, apparently in connection with some homosexuality. So, friends, there's some tremendous things happening right now, some very shocking things happening right now. Sad, sad stories about kids who end their lives in the context of homosexuality. Well, what they're saying is that you guys have imposed all this false guilt upon these kids for sins they never committed. And these aren't sins because, remember, the only sin left is anybody who stands up and says it's possible to sin.
And
that would be people like us. Yeah. Or recycle. Or people who won't recycle. Right. That's the other sin. Okay. So we know there are still two or three sins left. But homosexuality is not in that list. Now, you know, what if somebody committed suicide because they didn't recycle their pop cans? I mean, Dave, what would happen then? I mean, you know, I mean, they felt really bad about it. They hadn't recycled their pop cans. And, you know, somebody got a video of them and broadcasted it to the world. And they were so ashamed. So they went and jumped off the George Washington Bridge. What then? I mean, I think we have a big media fallout saying, oh, false guilt. Oh, look what you did to this poor child.
Well, all the anti-environmentalists, the non-recycling crowd, of which I'm president, would, of course, cry out that you're putting pressure on people to recycle and you're making them feel bad about themselves for their behaviors. And maybe they even need to repent from here or there. And see, you're imposing your morality about Mother Earth on me. You know, it strikes me, Kevin, that in Romans chapter 1, the very chapter in which the Apostle Paul talks about, for this reason, God gave up to their vile passions, for even their women exchanged naturally, this was right against nature. And it talks about male homosexuality. But he ends the chapter saying, knowing the righteous judgment of God, those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also of those who practice them. And it seems to me that there's some people who are saying, you know what, I know the righteous judgments of God. I deserve death. And they're just beating God to the punch.
Well, Dave, let me read a couple of pro-homosexual sites commenting on the Tyler Clementi case. Tyler Clementi has posted a Facebook status saying, jumping off the GW bridge, sorry, after the broadcast of his sexual encounter. He may have been saying sorry to his friends, his family for the hurt and shame that he thought he would be giving them, yet it was the toxic, homophobic environment at the university and at the church that probably prevented a sensitive young man from coming out. It's so important to turn the shame into being proud of how God has created us. Okay, here's another Christian homosexual site, talks about this very thing. Yet it was the toxic and homophobic environment at the university and church that had prevented this man from coming out. As Tyler was playing his violin in church to the chorus, glory to God in the highest, the beautiful sound of his violin would have touched the heart for God. For God always already had accepted Tyler and his sexual orientation, even though his church and perhaps even Tyler himself may not have been proud of it. But God was proud of him, and today Tyler is with God in a far better place. So that's Christian homosexual sites that are taking up arms in support of Tyler, who committed suicide because he was unwillingly outed recently. Interesting stuff here. There's different reactions to this, friends. Different reactions to homosexuality. Let's just hit on one right now. And we want to say, okay, on today's program, how do we address what is going on right now with men like Tyler Clementi? And my guess, Dave, is that this is not the only isolated case. There are probably hundreds of thousands of young people right now, even right now, in evangelical churches, Reformed churches, conservative, fundamentalist churches that have these homosexual tendencies and probably will go the direction of homosexuality for some time out of their lives. And we got to ask the question, how in the world are we supposed to deal with it? How do parents deal with this? How do churches deal with it? How do pastors deal with this? And they deal with it in all sorts of different ways. We know that. And Dave, it's no surprise to me that these kids are doing what they're doing because the pastors are doing this. I mean, there's another story of a pastor in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm not going to mention it because we're not sure it's entirely true, but evidently from some of the pictures that have been published and so forth, there's some indication that we've got some homosexuality happening in a mega church in Atlanta, Georgia. And friends, a number of mega churches out here in Colorado had pastors, evangelical pastors of the same ilk of this Grace Church in New Jersey, where Tyler Clementi attended, that have come out of the closet, or at least have confessed to homosexual inklings or a homosexual lifestyle over years and years and years and years. We have pastors coming out. Is it any wonder that you're going to have these laity kids coming out of the closet now? Friends, it's everywhere. It is everywhere. You understand it's affecting everybody right now. So how does the church react to this? Dave, we could react to this in the way that Westboro Baptist Church reacts to it. I mean, let's hit the Westboro Baptist Church before we take a break. Okay, everybody knows about Westboro Baptist Church. I mean, unless your head has been in the sand for the last 10 years. All right, let's show some of these signs that these guys put up at military funerals and various events, homosexual events around the country. God hates fags. America is doomed. These are the sorts of signs these guys put up. It's Pastor Fred Phelps. Now, Dave, I don't know too much about Fred Phelps. You've been doing a little research on him. Why don't you tell us how Fred Phelps handles the homosexual issue?
Well, Fred Phelps believes sincerely that God is judging America for our embracing of the homosexual lifestyle. And when a soldier dies, especially if it's a homosexual soldier, he celebrates the death of the soldier. He's actually happy that God has brought judgment, kind of a Psalm 58 type feeling that God will rejoice washing his feet in the blood of the wicked. Now, the problem, of course, that we had with Westboro is there's not a whole lot of gospel they're giving there. They're not really saying, you know, repent of your homosexuality.
Yeah, I've never seen a sign from Westboro Baptist Church. And by the way, I saw a short clip on Westboro Baptist Church, and they what they have, okay, their ministry program, if you go down in the basement and you look at where their operation is, they've got a bunch of printing presses. Okay, and then they've got hundreds of signs, very well organized. I was amazed at the organization of Westboro Baptist Church's sign ministry. And this is their ministry. Their ministry is just to hold signs up saying, America is cursed, you are damned, you are judged. It's effectively what Jeremiah Wright was doing. I mean, I don't think there's much difference between Jeremiah Wright, who's Barack Obama's pastor, and what these guys are doing.
Well, the Westboro people hold up signs that says God hates America.
Right.
God hates fags, God hates America. And Jeremiah Wright says just God damn America. So,
right.
You know, so, God hates, God damns. Yeah. You know, there's a little bit of, I don't know, the signs are a little kinder and gentler.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, fags seems to be a big word that Westboro likes to use. And, you know, you could pick anything, you know, I guess. God's judging America because of our pride.
And that may be one of the problems, Dave. I mean, these guys are going to superficial sin, which, I mean, it's a significant sin, but it's endemic. It's a sin that's endemic of a humongous problem that is everywhere else, possibly even in Westboro Baptist Church. I mean, I'm sure these guys say, oh, no, you know, we're pure of all this kind of stuff. We have nothing to repent of, you know, because the only sin left is homosexuality. That's the sense you get when you watch these signs. I mean, the only sin that you're ever going to pick up on is homosexuality. That sounds like we've got one track, Dave, and they just play that track again and again and again. Number one, they don't recognize that God hates homosexuality, yes, but God hates liars, and God hates really, really bitter Baptists that don't understand the combination of grace and law, faith and works. God hates a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of things that God hates out there. So I'd say let's be careful about just picking on one group of people. And secondly, yes, God hates sin, and God is angry with the wicked every day. But let's balance that out. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I think the redemptive work of Jesus Christ is worth something in salvaging, well, nations as well as individuals. All right? So God is cursing America, so we got a little judgment in America. Is it possible God could redeem some aspect of America, including perhaps our political state? Is that possible? Did God love the world enough to redeem not just our individuals, but maybe even our nations? In fact, we're supposed to go out around the world and disciple the nations. And I'm not seeing a lot of discipling the nations going on in the Fred Phelps Westboro Baptist Church ministry program.
No, I think they're rightly proclaiming that God is a holy God and he hates sin.
Sure, that's a good balance, right. Okay.
God is a holy God and he hates sin, but God is also a merciful God, and Jesus is a friend of sinners, including homosexual sinners. And I think that's the balance that we need to say is, yes, we're all guilty. God hates our sin. We're all going to hell if it were not for the one and the righteous one of Christ. And that's what I'm not hearing. I'm not hearing the gospel delivery, that there is a righteous one who suffered so that I don't have to be righteous because I can't be righteous. But he was righteous in my stead, and he gives me that righteousness on my account. And that's the message that I'm not hearing from Westboro. Yeah, homosexuality, big, big sin. So is my pride.
Well, I don't see Paul doing this on Mars Hill. That's another point, Dave. What did Paul do on Mars Hill? Now, Mars Hill is pretty much the world out there. Paul goes to Mars Hill, people doing idolatrous things, people probably doing homosexual things, people doing bad things all around Athens, all around Greece. And he's there in Mars Hill. And what does he do? He talks about Jesus Christ crucified and rose from the dead. Then he says God commands every man everywhere to repent because he's coming to judge the world. Now, I do not see the command to repent. I don't see a call for people to come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ in the Westboro Baptist Church ministry. I'm not seeing it. Apparently, maybe they've got a little bit somewhere, but it's not showing up in their sign ministry. Okay, folks, in just a moment, we're going to talk more about how to address the Tyler Clementi issue, which is starting to spread everywhere.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trustest to the book called the Scriptures, thou trustest to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here today talking about a very important case, the Tyler Clementi case, where this young man sadly committed suicide instead of coming to the grace of Jesus Christ, which is capable, friends, of raising you up out of a state of sin and misery and bringing you into fellowship with the true and living God. Apparently, he didn't get that message. That's what I'm getting, at least in terms of his last message that he wrote prior to jumping off the George Washington Bridge. Well, Al Mohler has been coming out with some great blogs lately, and I just want to hit on this blog he gave this morning on the Tyler Clementi case. And Dave, he does say that we gotta love homosexuals. We gotta go out there and preach the gospel to them. Jesus did. So why not we? Why can't we present the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the purpose of Christ coming to earth to save this world? He loved the world so much, he came to save. Now, of course, everybody who hears the gospel is commanded to believe and repent of their sins. And if they do, then they will live in fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's the message. But he also says to love a homosexual, according to the media, is to love his sexual orientation. They say that's what, if you love a homosexual, you have got to love his sexual orientation. Dave, it would be like saying if you're going to love a cannibal, you got to love his diet. Or if you're going to love a mass murderer, you got to love his hobby. And I don't get it. Do I have to love his hobby? Do I have to love the diet of the cannibal if I'm loving the cannibal?
It's interesting, Kevin, because what they're saying is a covenantal idea. They're saying if you're going to love somebody, you got to love their covenant sins, the sins that go with them. You got to love everything about them. And, of course, that's silly. That's sophistry. I hope you love me, but I hope you're not loving my sin.
Yeah.
I love you, but, you know, there's times you do things that I don't find so lovely.
And I think it's legitimate to say, I love you, but there's some things I don't love about you. And I think that's safe. We have to draw the line sometimes a little carefully here between what we mean and what we don't mean. We got to do this. I mean, if you got a son who's a mass murderer, I mean, you can come up to your son and say, I love you, son. I love you, John. I just don't love the mass murdering thing about you. Or let's say you've got a husband that's abusive. and beats on his wife. His wife might say, I love you, honey. I just don't love this wife-beating, angry, hating thing about you. But I love you. And Dave, I think it's right to draw those distinctions. Let me move on to some other things that Al Mohler has said as we continue. And Al has done some great things lately. He says, you know, why are all these Christian pro-family organizations constantly whining about homosexuality when there's this humongous divorce problem in the church? And adultery, biblically, is an equal sin to homosexuality. In terms of the punishment, in terms of the way God views it, I see no difference, friends. I see no difference. And when a man has a divorce with his wife and it's based upon an unbiblical reasoning, as in he commits adultery, as in he abandons her, and when that happens, and when he files that divorce, Jesus said he has committed adultery against his wife, per Jesus' words. Therefore, if there are divorces going on for these unbiblical reasons, that is, there's abandonment going on. And by the way, that happens all the time. And when there's adultery going on, when there's lots and lots of fornication, and then that leads to a divorce, friends, that's an adulterous situation. Granted, sometimes there's one party in there that we could call the innocent party, but there's an adulterer in that equation somewhere. There's adultery in the equation. There is adultery in the divorce equation every time divorce happens. Therefore, if the church is filled with divorce, and I'll tell you what, Dave, every single survey I have seen, George Barna, etc., it seems to indicate that the divorce rate in the church is higher sometimes, equal or higher, than what you find outside. Friends, I'm here to tell you that as long as the church has that kind of a situation going on in terms of the quality of family relationships, marital relationships, father-son relationships, we have no position. We have no position to go after homosexuality unless we're going after the divorce issue with equal fervor, period. Dave, I think there's a violation of Matthew 7:1 happening in a lot of these pro-family ministries and these pro-family churches. I don't think they're dealing with these issues properly.
Well, of course, with the issue of divorce, we have God saying, quote, God hates divorce. That's what the Bible says, God hates divorce. And we don't take that problem on with the force that we do with homosexuality in the evangelical community. And that's because if we were to make a hard stand on divorce, we might lose half our members, because half our members have been divorced. We haven't upheld marriage as a picture of Christ and his church very well. Now, it's true that God has in the past destroyed civilizations for the sin of homosexuality. Sometimes he lets the civilization destroy itself from within, burn itself out with homosexuality. In other words, homosexuality is not just a sin, it's its own curse. But so is divorce, because when you destroy the family unit, you destroy society, you destroy children, you destroy lives.
And that's happening right now. It's happening right now. 70% of kids will not grow up with mother and father thanks to divorce, and thanks to the fact that 41% of kids are born without fathers now. Things are coming apart, friends, and if we're just going to point a finger at homosexuality and say, that's the problem, no, that's not the fundamental problem. There are more fundamental problems operating. Now, we can say that is a problem, that is a sin, and these people need to repent of it, but we've got issues as well, and we better be addressing those issues, and that's the point Al Mohler is driving home recently on his blog, and I agree with the man. Hypocrisy within the church is just too thick. We got crusty Christianity everywhere. What we need, friends, is a humble, authentic, confessing Christianity. I mean a sanctifying, flesh-crucifying faith that I'm just not seeing very much in the church today. And as Dave mentioned, I think the situation is far worse than most people think it is. The church is dying. The civilization itself is dying. We've come into 1,500 years of the end of a civilization, friends. I mean, homosexuality is coming out of the closet. It's been out of the closet now for about 10, 15, 20 years. Wasn't for about 1,500 years. But now for the last 15, 20 years, it's out of the closet and it's everywhere. It's seeping into the corners of our home. It's in the music area, the arts, the theater, and that may be one of the things that affected Tyler Clementi, because it's everywhere in the music area, and he was apparently accomplished with the violin. So you've got it among the arts everywhere. It's just seeping everywhere. Music teachers, theater directors, many of them are homosexual, not all of them, but it seems to have gone in that direction. Back when I was in theater in the 1980s, man, I'd have so many directors that were homosexual, and it was difficult for me to operate in that environment back then. Now, if you go to the malls, you don't find as much heterosexual advertisements that were supposed to allure the heterosexuals as you used to. Now it's far more metrosexual. It's far more homosexual, bisexual. That's what you see. It used to, the homoerotic stuff used to be held down to Abercrombie and Fitch. I mean, they were the ones that were sort of the guys on the front end of this thing trying to get the homoerotic stuff going and get society sucked into it. But man, right now I was in a mall just a couple of weeks ago, and I find the homoerotic stuff all over, the metrosexual stuff all over the place, and the homosexual clothing styles are everywhere. They're going for the tight pants, the muscle shirts that tie into the metro man, and you've got a society that's just being sucked into this, friends. And I think right now what we got to do with our children is we got to say, this is what's happening to society around us. May God deliver us. I think the first thing to do, Dave, is to cry out for mercy, that God preserve a remnant, just a small remnant, in a time where we're just wholesale, society is going this direction, and it's just seeping into the churches everywhere. And it's time to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. If we're going to survive, if the faith is going to survive, if the civilization is going to survive, you got to understand, friends, after 1,500 years, homosexuality is out of the closet. It is dry rot. It will destroy our civilizations. We're burning out. We burned out in terms of heterosexuality, as I said, just a couple of 20, 30 years ago. Now we're moving into homosexuality. That'll last 30, 40, 50 years, maximum. Maximum. People will do their homosexual thing for the next 30, 40 years. But then society burns out. It burns out on this stuff. You're not going to have a homosexual society forever and ever. Friends, we've tried this many times in the history of societies. We've tried it with the Greeks. We tried it with the Romans. The Japanese tried it for a short time. Chinese tried it for a short time. They play around with the homosexuality for a short time. And after 20, 30, 40 years of it, society burns out. And you don't have anything left anymore except for those who were able to retain some degree of purity, some degree of integrity within their families. And they've developed islands of integrity during that period of time. And, Dave, I don't think it's going to happen without the grace of God. And if it happens to us, man, we're not going to look at everybody else and say, well, we did it. It's too bad for the rest of the people. We're going to say it's the grace of God that we survived that storm.
And, Kevin, we have to understand, as the Church of Jesus Christ, that the little sins beget bigger sins. Divorce is the precursor to homosexuality, because homosexuality results from broken relationships, particularly with fathers. Lesbians are looking for male figures and other women, and men are looking for father figures. Maybe as a man was very sensitive and gentle, and his father didn't affirm that in him, and so he's seeking it from other men. Divorce, then, is a broken relationship that is the precursor to a society that's going to be struggling with homosexuality, and homosexuality will beget bestiality, and I don't know what that's going to beget, because my mind doesn't want to go there. When we have treachery in our marriages, we'll have treachery in our societies. What we need to do, Kevin, instead of carrying out signs that say God hates fags, we need to put out the message that, that disciple your sons in the word of God. Love your wives. He finds a wife, finds a good thing. Be faithful and true. And understand this, that when there is sin, somebody's got to die. Yeah. But there is one who already did die.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the short message for our friends is we got to be attending Repentance Community Church. Wherever we come from, we got a lot of stuff to repent of. I mean, there are a lot of fornicators out there, a lot of liars and bitter, unforgiving people that don't want to repent. And there are some homosexuals that don't want to repent. That's just the way it is. They don't want to repent, okay? But there are some that want to repent. They'll come in with their lying problems. They'll come in with their fornication problems, their lust, their pornography, their homosexuality. We're all going to come there. We're going to be a real diverse group. This will be the most diverse group you're going to find. And they're all going to converge in Repentance Community Church because they're going to have stuff to repent of. And that, friends, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we may have a few people in our churches who run for the closet and don't want to confess their sinful thoughts and actions. And if it's a transparent, honest, humble, confessing church, and everybody else is confessing their sins, and you've got this homosexual kid that doesn't want to repent of his sins, then I guess he's just going to have to leave. These people want to be hypocrites and don't want to talk about who they really are not going to feel comfortable in transparent churches where they're confessing their sins and being forgiven for their sins. They're not going to want to attend that kind of church. And we may have people in our churches who want to sin and sin and sin openly and still stay in the church, but eventually they're going to have to meet church discipline, as the man in 1 Corinthians 5 is sleeping with his father's wife. Okay, Paul said, you don't mess around with that. You're not going to just let him continue to sleep with his father's wife in that incestuous relationship over and over again. You got to get some repentance out of this guy, or you're going to have to just remove him from the roles of the church and disfellowship the fellow. Well, friends, this means that you've got to have some decent relationships, and we got to be talking. And unfortunately, the father-son relationships usually aren't that great, and these mega churches aren't really cultivating good relationships. Nobody really knows about the kid who's got the homosexual struggles because nobody knows anybody, and they don't have relationships, and nobody's confessing sins, and the relationships aren't really forming, and you can be a closet homosexual, closet liar, closet fornicator, closet whatever you want to be because nobody really knows what you are. But as far as I'm concerned, that's not really the vision for the church. The church is a bunch of people come together, they confess their sins, they get to know each other and love each other in the Lord. And sinners hopefully will appreciate the blood of Jesus Christ and understand that it's that blood that will help them to overcome that sin. And they'll actually receive the power of that atoning blood because it means something to them. It transforms them. But there will be those that don't appreciate the blood. They're healed by the blood, but they just keep sinning and trampling on the blood, because they don't care about the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, there'll be those as well. But it's for us to strengthen the things that remain. That means we continue to point out these things and press people to run to the cross of Christ for that forgiveness, that powerful, powerful cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Some people don't care about it, but And nothing will happen in their lives. They won't change, and they'll continue down the road to Gomorrah. But for those that see this and understand it, and understand the power of that blood over their sins, they will run for refuge to Jesus Christ. And that is the beginning of establishing our communities, our church communities, where, by God's grace, we're going to see something in the years to come. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to be really on our game here theologically. We got to be on our game morally. Unfortunately, there's been a theological problem within the churches, moral problems within the churches. They don't understand the relationship of faith and works. They don't understand the gospel. They don't understand the relationship of grace and law. So they're very confused, and they confuse the people they're pretending to lead. And so we got to get these churches straightened out theologically and morally. We've got to start confessing our sins and being straightforward and transparent with who we really are. Otherwise, we're going to have the hypocrisy Baptist Church instead of the repentance Baptist Church. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.